الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات. In the light of this hadith of the Holy Prophet, we were talking about the 25 action points which Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Ulum, one of our great scholars of history, has mentioned for those who are serious about the cleanliness of the soul. And we discussed the first five of those 25 tips, where he was talking about al-muhafaza ala salawat al-khams, that means protecting the five time prayers, and also the nawafil, the mustahab prayers, and keeping the parts of our body, the limbs and parts of our body, away from zulm and khiyanat, and keeping the tongue protected from the sins which are involved with the tongue. And the fifth one was fasting. He's talking about the mustahab and recommended fasting. The wajib fasting we have to do anyway in the month of Ramadan, but he's talking about the mustahab fasting, which I mentioned to you was minimum 3 days every month. And how we do it is that the first Thursday of every month and the last Thursday of every month and the middle Wednesday of every month. And the sixth point, which is related to our discussion tonight, that he has mentioned, is sadaqah. Giving zakatul maal. Zakat means tax. In the literal meaning of the word, literally, zakat means numu and growth. So it is used for all the taxes of Islam in its general sense. And he says that giving the zakatul mal, tax of the money, without delay. That's what he says. Giving away the taxes from our money without delay. Except if fi surat faqdil mustahaq, except in the case when you don't find a mustahaq person readily available, where you can go straight away and give it to him. So you, when the deserving person is not readily available, that's where you can delay. Or he says, in the case where you are searching for the most suitable of the deserving people, who is the best among all the mustahiqeen. These are the only two reasons why we can delay the zakatul mal and charity from our money. Otherwise, a mu'min should not delay. Sadaqah is extremely important, because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that al-birru was-sadaqatu yanfiyan al-faqr wa yazidan fi al-umr wa yadfa'an 90 mitat as-su'. That means good deed and sadaqah remove the faqr and poverty. If you are worried about your poverty, losing money, decrease in your money, good deeds and charity, sadaqah, will increase in your money, will stop poverty, will negate poverty, and increase in your lifespan, and also yadfa'an, it will keep away 90 types of, 90 death types. That means we sometimes have a very bad form of death. Somebody passes away in a very pathetic way, in an accident or something all of a sudden happens, and which is not a normal, noble way of dying. So it keeps away 90 types of evil death away from you. Also, we have learned that Prophet has said, "Man sarrahu an yadfa Allahu anhu nahsa yomihi, fal yiftadh yomahu bi sadaqa, yadhab Allahu biha anhu nahsa yomihi." Whosoever wants to remove the nahs, nuhusat, of the daytime, he should begin his day by a sadaqa. Allah will remove the nahs, nuhusat, the evil of the day. And woman ahabba an yadhhab Allahu anhu nahsa laylatihi falyaftatih laylatahu bisadaqa yadfa Allahu anhu nahsa laylatihi. Whoever wants to remove the nahs, the evil, the nuhusat of his night, should start his day with sadaqa, and Allah will remove that nuhusat or nahs of the night time. And rewards of sadaqa are basically depending on certainly, like every other ibadat, on the ma'rifat of the person himself. What level of ma'rifat and shanakht and in-depth recognition of Allah he has. And also on the fact that whom are you giving to? That's where the reward of sadaqah depends. So if you are giving sadaqah to a person who is sahihul yadain wa sahihul aynain, someone who has both his eyes there, he is not blind with both or one of his eyes, he has both of his hands there, he is not disabled from any of his hands, the reward you are going to get is certainly lesser. It's always good to give away sadaqah, but we are talking about the levels in the rewards. And as compared to the sadaqah that you give to a person who is alil, who is sick, and he has any kind of injuries which makes him disabled to work, like he has lost his vision from both or one of his eyes, or he is disabled from his hands or feet. And likewise, the sadaqah that you give to your to those of the people who are your relatives, you give much more sawab of that sadaqah. And likewise, the sadaqah that you give relatives starts from the parents. In Islam, it all starts from your father and mother. So we have to first take care of our parents if they are needy, they stand in need. Our relatives, our blood relatives, and in-laws, and then, of course, those who are who share the same belief system with you, Ahlul Iman, need to be supported. And likewise, we give sadaqah to those of the people who are basically serving and studying the Islamic knowledges, the religious students who are studying the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Giving sadaqah to those people is one of the highest rewards in Islam. It is also important to remember that as we are talking about the concept of sadaqah in Islam, sadaqah is from those of the things which we love, not those of the things that we dislike for ourselves or no longer need for ourselves, like the used up items, the second hand things. If you give sadaqah, it has very low level of sawab. The sadaqah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes is the sadaqah that you give from your own beloved things. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Quran has said, you can never reach birr unless you give from what you love. So we find that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam used to give sugar as sadaqah. كَانَ يَتَصَدَّقْ بِالسُّكَّرِ. So when somebody asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that why do you give sugar and sadaqah, he said, I love it, you know. And لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْهُ. There isn't anything more beloved to me than that. فَلَا أَحَبُّ أَنْ أَتَصَدَّقْ بِأَحَبِّ الْأَشْيَاءِ إِلَيَّ. That's from تَهْذِيبُ الْأَحْكَامِ. So I want to give sadaqah from the most beloved things of mine. So there isn't anything more beloved to him than sugar. So he used to give sugar as sadaqah. And also, the significance of sadaqah is related, is also connected with our ill and sick family members. If you have any family member who is ill or sick, one of the very effective ways is to give sadaqah to remove their sickness, in addition to the mu'alaja, to the treatment which Allah has Himself commanded us to go for the treatment. We cannot just sit home and give sadaqah and consider it to be sufficient. Of course not. But in addition to the treatment, we need to give sadaqah as well, because we have hadith where from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and Furu'ul Kafi, where he has mentioned that Dawu marwakum bis sadaqah. That means treat your sick people with sadaqah, through sadaqah. So when we are doing the treatment, when we are seeking the dawa and cure for the sick people, one of the ways that is going to help us is giving sadaqah for them. Now, sadaqah does not mean that you give away everything that you have. This is not what Islam has promoted. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam gave to the first person who came and asked, he gave to the second one, to the third one. For the fourth person, he refused. وَرَدَّ الرَّابِعِ. The riwayat says, ثُمَّ رَدَّ الرَّابِعِ. He rejected the fourth person. وَقَالَ. And then he said, لَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا كَانَ لَهُ مَالٌ يَبْلُغُ 30,000 درهم ثُمَّ شَاءَ أَنْ لَا يَبْقَى مِنْهَا إِلَّا وَضَعَهَا فِي حَقٍ لَفَعَلَ فَيَبْقَى لَا مَالَ لَهُ فَيَكُونُ مِنَ الثَّلَاثَةَ الَّذِينَ يُرَدَّ دُعَاءُهُمْ. If a person, in other words, he gives away all that he has and he remains without any wealth, he will be falling in one of the three categories of people, one of the three people whose dua is not accepted by Allah, dua is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of those three, he says, أَحَدُهُمْ رَجُلٌ كَانَ لَهُ مَالٌ فَأَنْفَقَهُ فِي وَجْهِهِ ثُمَّ قَالْ يَا رَبِّ اُرْزُقْنِي. Someone who has the money, but he gave away the money for the sake of Allah, and then he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Lord, give me money. And فَيُقَالُ لَهُ, so it is said to him, أَلَمْ أَجْعَلْ لَكَ سَبِيلًا إِلَى طَلَبُ الرِّزْقِ. Didn't I provide you for the sake of seeking the risk? So when Allah has already provided us what protects our dignity, we are not supposed to give away everything that we stand in need and end up becoming poor or needy ourselves, or may end up start begging or losing our dignity in front of the community. This is not what Allah likes. You know, when Prophet came back from the janazah, from the funeral of one of the Muslims who passed away, and when he was returning back, he found some children begging on the street. And somebody told the Holy Prophet, this is the same guy that you buried right now. These children belong to him. They are begging on the street. Prophet said, if you told me ahead of time, I would not have allowed you to bury him in the Muslim graveyard. That means this person doesn't deserve to be buried in the Muslim graveyard. Who doesn't deserve to be buried in the Muslim graveyard? A non-Muslim. Isn't that right? So somebody who has this sort of behavior towards his family, that means he has the money, but he gave away everything that he had. Now his family are begging on the street. This person does not die away on the sunnah of Rasulullah and on the teachings of Islam. In fact, he steps out of the borders of Islam and does not deserve to be buried in the Muslim graveyard. So Islam is a religion of logic and izzat and dignity and sharaf and izzat that we have as mu'mins is an amanat of Allah. فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we have been given the freedom to do whatsoever within the framework of halal, but when it comes to our izzat and dignity that we enjoy, no mu'min person has any right whatsoever to make himself insulted, because this izzat that you have doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Allah, and it's an amanat in your control and entrusted trust which Allah entrusted into you. And you don't have the right to do any kind of breach of the covenant towards Allah regarding this amanat, or do khiyanat towards this amanat. It simply doesn't belong to you. Just like if I give you amanat on $1,000, you cannot just go and buy some stuff for yourself. It's not your money. You're just taking care of the money. Isn't that right? Similarly, our izzat is not ours. It belongs to Allah. فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَوَّضَ إِلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ. Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَوَّضَ إِلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ أُمُورَهُ كُلَّهَا. Allah has surrendered all the affairs to the mu'min. وَلَمْ يُفَوِّضْ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يُذِلَّ نَفْسَهُ. But he did not give him he did not surrender this thing into the control of a mu'min to insult himself, to humiliate himself. We don't have that right. That's not ours. Izzat is basically something that is His. We are just taking care of it. And we have the Izzat because we believe in Allah, and believe in His Messenger, and believe in the Day of Judgment, and believe in what the كُلَّمَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولِ. Believe in what the Prophet has brought. So basically, giving away everything that you have is not what sadaqah is, concept of sadaqah and charity is promoting. Someone can say, well, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam used to give away. Yes, they used to give away, and they had ithar, which is sacrifice, that's higher than the regular sadaqah, giving away things that you stand in need for yourself, but not used to give away things that their family stand in need. That means I pick up something from my children and give it away to others. I have the right to give away what belongs to me and to some other person, but I don't have the right to give away the basic necessity of my family to others. Second of all, ithar and sacrificing, giving preference to the needs of others over your own need, is extremely, extremely recommended in Islam and is the highest level of the charities. But in the case when you yourself don't end up in a financial breakdown, and possibly end up into your loss of dignity and loss of izzat and sharaf and nobility in front of the community. So Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam gave away يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. But they never end up in a French financial and social breakdown that they end up, God forbid, end up begging in front of the community. So there is a difference between that. So don't end up doing something that causes yourself to get humiliated or loss of respect and loss of dignity. And also, as we are talking about this, when somebody asked Rasulullah that what is the best sadaqah, أَيُّ الصَّدَقَةِ أَفْضَلُ, he said that Allah the Rahim al-Kashih, that means that giving sadaqah to that relative of yours who has enmity towards you. So if we give to those of the relatives who have enmity towards us, that has the, in other words, that's the best of all the sadaqat. And as long as we have one of our relatives faqir, we are not supposed to give to others as a preference. We should first give to our own relatives. Everybody has some relatives in his family. Look at the beautiful arrangement of Islam. If every person is taking care of his family, the family members will have love and affection towards each other. They don't stand in need of turning towards others, and the issues of the family will remain inside the family. So la sadaqata وَذُو رَحِمٍ مُحْتَاج. Prophet said that, in other words, the sadaqah of a person who gives away to others but doesn't give away to his own family, his relatives, this sadaqah is not considered to be sadaqah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as your family is muhtaj, you got to take care of your family first. Likewise, it is important to remember, like I've already emphasized in several other speeches, that we hide the sadaqat from everyone, including our own families. Like a husband giving sadaqah, the wife should not discover. The wife giving sadaqah, the husband should not know if the money belongs to the wife. It's not allowed in Islam for the wife to give sadaqah from the money belonging to the husband without his permission. But she can always give sadaqah from the money belonging to herself without asking the husband. Because Prophet has said in his hadith that سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمَ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ. Seven people or seven categories of people are the ones who will be under the shadow. That means Allah will include them under His umbrella, under His shadow, on the day where no one will be under a shadow, on the day where there will be no shadow except His shadow. So, and then he said, رَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَمْ تَعْلَمْ يَمِينُهُ مَا تُنْفِقْ شِمَالُهُ. So one of those six, one of those seven is the one who gives the sadaqah in a way that when his right doesn't know what his left is giving. So this is just a metaphor used, that the way you give from your left hand and your right doesn't know. So even the you know, your relatives, your close people don't discover what you are giving away. Sadaqah is, look at what Imam Ali alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt used to do the same way. Imam Ali sent some money, gave it to somebody, go and give it to such and such person. And he said to this guy that don't tell him that this is from, that means this from Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that's the way they used to do. Imam Salih alayhi salam, we have narrations informing similar kind of thing from other Imams. Imam Salih alayhi salam, like Sadaqatul Khifa, you know, hidden Sadaqah. Imam Salih alayhi salam sent this money through one of his companions to another person and said not to tell him. When this guy took the money to this faqir person, he started complaining against Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that may Allah take care of Ja'far ibn Muhammad. He doesn't care about us. He has so much money, but he doesn't take care of us. And this he is complaining to this person who is bringing the money from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. You know, Islam condemns su'ud-dhan. We need to have husnud-dhan towards each other, good thoughts about other fellow brothers, and not to think in a bad way about others. Sometimes su'ud-dhan leads us towards harams. We may end up doing things which are extremely disliked by Allah. Just like this example. The same Imam Sadiq is sending you the money through this person and he is hiding his name, which is extremely recommended by Allah. And you are complaining to the same person, you are complaining that look at Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, that he doesn't take care of us. So we need to have husnul dhan towards others and never end up saying a statement which is not founded on 100% evidences. Even if we have things founded on 100% evidence, we don't say everything in front of everyone. Likewise, Imam Ali alayhi salam, when in the days of his Khilafat, he found this widow of a shaheed and carrying some load. Imam Ali alayhi salam is the Khalifa. He helped this woman to carry the load. He helped her up till her house. And she also was complaining against Imam Ali alayhi salam. She could not recognize that this is Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. She started complaining against Imam Ali that my husband became shaheed, whereas Ali doesn't take care of me. And when Imam went inside the house, she had some children, and of course she Imam Ali offered his help, and she said, well, I can take care of the children, but if you can want to help, then you better help me in making the breads. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is there, and he started to make the breads in that tanur, you know, that fireplace. And at that time when he was making the breads, one of the ladies from the neighbors came inside the house, and she recognized Imam Ali alayhi salam, and she started to say to this woman, you know, what are you doing? You are asking the Khalifa of Muslimin to come and help you. And she was very embarrassed and shocked when she discovered that this is Imam Ali alayhi salam himself standing and helping her. So basically, what we learn in the light of these narrations, first of all, their sadaqat and their ma'roof and their birr and their good deeds were hidden. A lot of segment of their good deeds were hidden from the community. They never exposed themselves that they were the ones who were doing. Second of all, It shows their tawadhu, how down to earth they were, and having complete tawakkul in Allah. Doesn't care what the people think, they are doing their duty towards Allah. And third of all, what we learn is that those of the people who have su'ul dhan and bad thoughts about fellow mu'min brothers, they must be warned that they can possibly end up doing big harams from the door of su'ul dhan that leads them possibly towards big harams. So we need to continue having husnul dhan towards fellow mu'min brothers. Instead of turning to the people, we should, or complaining to the people, we should better complain towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two things, you know, shakwa Allah and shakwa ilallah. We don't have any concept of shakwa Allah in Islam. We don't complain against Allah. But we have a shakwa ilallah. That means complaining towards Allah. We submit our complaints towards Him. This is extremely good. Whatever complaints we have, we submit towards Him. But we never complain against Allah. This is against our iman and faith. It is also important that when we are talking about sadaqat as a concept, we should understand the whole thing and not understand a concept incompletely and end up doing things which are basically counterproductive. First of all, managing our wealth in our lifetime is very important. That means how much wealth you are supposed to use for yourself and how much wealth you are supposed to leave behind for your waratha, for your inheritors. Major segment of our good deeds that we plan, you know, let some people leave behind wealth and they write in their will that spend this wealth for such and such good cause, construct a masjid, a mosque from my money of inheritance, construct a Husayni, a madrasa, this, print some books, do some good deeds, charity work, taking care of orphans, widows. These are all very nice things. But remember, when you write down your will in Islam, your will is applicable to 1/3 of your money only, not the entire wealth. The rest of the 2/3 of your inheritance will be governed by the law of Quran. If you are serious about spending your money, let's suppose you want 85% of your wealth to be used to construct a masjid, a mosque. So very good. Fine, do it in your lifetime. That's where you have the control of your wealth. But if you say that my money should be spent, the inheritance money should be spent, 85% of my wealth should be spent on construction of a mosque, then you must remember 85% of 1/3 will be spent on your mosque only, and the rest of the 2/3 will be spent according to what Allah has mentioned in the Holy Quran, because the law of Quran will override your will after your death. There is already a law in place. There is no vacuum. There is a law in place already from God which governs what and how your wealth needs to be taken care of after your death. You have the right to deal with 1/3 only. If you want to give your money to orphans, whatever, do it in your lifetime. Whatever you want to give. Don't leave behind for your children to do it. It's good that we leave some for our children so that they don't end up begging in the street. We already mentioned that. But in addition, the good deeds that you want to do, you should plan in advance and do it yourself. And don't leave your good deeds at the mercy of your children to do on your behalf. This is never a right policy. Every good deed should be handled on your own in your lifetime. That's the way it goes. If you leave behind the money and now the 2/3 of the money is going to be distributed according to the shares and seham of Quran, and we find the children do good with that money, you are not the one who are going to get the reward and sawab, because the money doesn't belong to you any longer. It belongs to the children. And if they do bad, فَالْمُهَنَّ لَهُ وَالتَّبِعَةُ عَلَيَّ. The hadith says, Prophet is talking about the ruh when it dies away, the ruh addresses the people who are surrounding, carrying his corpse. Those people and his family members, in other words. And the ruh itself, Prophet said, the ruh says, you know, that the good belongs to them, the children. Whatever they do, in other words, they get the reward. وَالتَّبِعَةُ عَلَيَّ The bad they do, all the bad stuff they do with the money, will be on the neck of the dead person. He was the one who actually empowered them to do the bad with that money. So, it's very important to remember that sadaqah increases in our sustenance. Whosoever has a problem in his risk and job, or has a decrease in his money, or has a layoff in his job, one of the most effective ways is to give sadaqah. Istanzilu rizqa bi sadaqah, like Prophet said, bring down the risk through sadaqah. There's no way a person who gives for the sake of Allah doesn't get. There's no way. You always get. You always get. So we need to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadaqah brings the risk for us, for sure. But we should remember that وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ Quran has informed us those who have in their wealth known haq for the sa'il and mahroom. See, the beggars are of two kinds. Some fall in the category of sa'il, and some beggars fall in the category of mahroom. How is that? Well, there are some beggars, actually the Mufassireen have said that there are some beggars who have this courage to come and knock your door or ask for your help, send an email or send a letter to you or give you a call, whatever means of approaching you, they have the courage to approach you through one or several means. Whereas in the society, there are some other beggars who do not like to approach anybody because they want to keep their dignity and nobility, and they don't want to get humiliated in front of the community or in front of any single person in the community. So these are the beggars who fall in the category of mahroom. And a mu'min must have a share in his wealth for both the categories of people, those who are begging and those who do not approach you, for both of them. Even those who are begging, we are not supposed to refuse them. It's good to support them. لَوْلَا أَنَّ الْمَسَاكِينَ يَكْذِبُونَ مَا أَفْلَحَ مَنْ رَدَّهُمْ If the masakeen were not lying, someone who rejects them would never succeed. Would not succeed. So you're not supposed to reject the masakeen. Well, because some of those are lying, so we don't trust them. Well, that's okay if you don't trust. But otherwise, it's not appropriate to even reject those who are begging. Before I come to the... There few more points, inshallah, which we will discuss in the next lecture on Thursday, inshallah. But before I end my speech, the last point for tonight is the fact that Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam also consider our sadaqat as one of the signs of how much we obey them. Sadaqat are one of the signs of ranking and fathoming and measuring our obedience towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Look at the person who came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said that in my town there are a whole bunch of people who are your followers. So why don't you give the fatwa, the hukum for qiyam, and people of my city will follow you, will obey you. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asked him the question that in other words, that يَأْتِي أَحَدٌ إِلَىٰ كِيسِ أَخِيهِ يَأْخُذْ مِنْهُ حَاجَتَهُ That means, is that the situation in your town that somebody can come and grab money from some other mu'min's bag and take it away, and he, this mu'min who has the money more, that means he has money more than his needs of life. Another mu'min who's poor, he can just come and put his hand into the bag of this mu'min who has more money than his needs and take away the money. And this guy is not going to object on him. Is that the case in your town? He said, no, that's not the case. How would the people let other people come and take the money from their bag and they don't object? Of course they are going to object. So then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, فَهُمْ بِدِمَائِهِمْ أَبْخَلْ. Then these people are more miser towards giving their blood for each other. Isn't that right? When you are not ready to give, you're not generous enough to give your money, the money which you have more than your needs of life, you are still not ready to give away for the sake of the needs of your fellow mu'min brothers, how would you be able to give away your blood for the sake of for each other in Islam? And then he said that this is not the brotherhood. An-nasu fi hudna. This is just like a truce situation. You know, the people are warring parties, they end up in having ceasefire and truce. And, hatta idha qama al-qa'im ja'at al-muzamalah. So this is not a friendship. When our Qa'im, that means Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, would rise, that's where the friendship will be. Ya'ti ahadun ila kisi akhihi ya'khud minhu hajatahu la yamna'uhu. That means one guy can come and take away the money from another brother's bag and he's not going to stop him. That's the real brotherhood actually. That's where you really consider, you know, that the other person is your brother because you are taking care of his needs. So when you are not ready to take care and sacrifice for the sake of money, how would you sacrifice for something higher than that? So this is the litmus test of how much we are attached with this world and its material belongings, and how much we managed up till now to detach ourselves from the material things of this world, which is required to get the closeness and taqarrub of Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because ad-dunya bil amwal wal akhirah bil a'mal. Dunya is through the money, whereas the akhirat and day of judgment is through our actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and follow the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. If you have any questions related to the speech, we have 5 minutes.